Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, we're picking up where we were last week. We've been looking at the centurion that came to Jesus when he was in Capernaum. He said, "Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy." Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Then he says, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you'd come under my roof. Speak the word only, my servant will be healed." But after the man finished speaking, Jesus marveled, and he talked about the great faith that this Roman centurion, this Gentile, exhibited, and that he hadn't seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. But I want to read verse 11, 12, and 13. "And I say unto you," the Lord is speaking, "that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And verse 13, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Lord, I'm asking that you'd give understanding. Give me a flash of insight, perhaps, but please give illumination to those that are listening. Lord, we're talking about the big picture today, the biggest picture. This obscure man, he shows great faith, but Jesus riffs for just a second about the fate of Israel. And it's a big picture. Please give understanding. Please bring conviction to those that are listening to me. And I'll give you thanks and praise, Lord, in that wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to take a look at verse 11 and 12. But before that, I want to look at verse 13. After Jesus makes his comments, his prophetic comments about Israel, he turns to the centurion and says, "Hey, go about your business, go thy way. Don't worry. As you believed, so shall it be done." And it says that the man's servant was healed that minute. And when he got home, what do you know? Just like the Lord said, the servant was healed. I talked a little bit last time about Abraham, the father of faith, that Abraham believed God, and the Lord counted it unto him for righteousness. That's what God is interested in. Will we believe? Jesus at one point gave a parable of the sower. And there were four conditions. One, the seed, as the farmer or whatever walked down the field and he reached into his bag and he grabbed a handful of seed or whatever and he threw it. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell among stony ground etc. But at one point it talks about the cares of this world and the struggles that we all face. That condition, that person perhaps, he let his faith in God grow cold because he looked at his troubles instead of the Lord. If you want something from God, and I'm not talking about, well, maybe I can confess a Cadillac or a Lexus, that's bogus. But if you want something from God, God responds to faith. God responds to faith. As you read the Word of God or hear it preached, or as a verse comes to your mind or something, if you believe it, there's no limit to what God can do for you. Because God, He's all powerful. He's all powerful. There's nothing too hard for God. And I don't want to spend much time on this, but I wanted to make sure that I got verse 13 out of the way. But again, if you want something from God, believe Him for it. If you want to be a Christian, then ask Him. Tell Him you'd like to leave your old life. Tell Him you'd like to stop sinning or doing wrong. Tell Him you'd like to live for Him and believe Him and walk with Him and obey Him. And would He give you the strength to do it? And He will answer your cry. But again, let's take a look at verse 11 and 12. And we looked at verse 11 a little bit last time, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But verse 12, but the children of the kingdom, in other words, the Jews, the nation of Israel, would have you. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know what weeping is. Nobody's quite sure what gnashing of teeth means. But they were upset. They were disappointed. They were upset at themselves. They were all been out of shape, what have you. When Jesus came on the scene, and we can see this all through the Gospels, that the religious crowd, the guys in charge, the guys that ran the synagogue, the guys that took care of the temple, what have you, much has been said about them. They did not receive Jesus. To him he was not the Messiah, to him he was not the king, to them he was a troublemaker. And again, all through the Gospels you will see that they fought against him and tried to trick him, tried to discredit him. But you see, Jesus is God come in the flesh, come to earth in the flesh. He is the Messiah. He is the King. He is the Prince of Peace. He is everything that the Old Testament said He was. You know, by way of explanation, there are four Gospels. And if you begin to read Matthew and you read it through and then you read Mark and then you read Luke. And I remember when I got saved, it was like this, that, man, these are the same stories. And the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are what we call the synoptic gospels. They are similar or synchronized or what have you. And in that regard, they come from one perspective. A human perspective. But John, the Gospel of John, shows Jesus as God, again, come in the flesh. But Matthew, and this is important for our lesson today, Matthew shows Jesus as a king coming into his kingdom, or returning to his kingdom to take account. a king that made some decrees, gave some outlines, what have you, laws, what have you, put people in charge, and then went down the road, visited some other country, what have you, stayed away some length of time, but then he returns. And he takes account of, well, I said do this and I said don't do that. How did you measure up? Did you do what I said? Can I promote you to a higher office or a higher appointment? Or do I realize that you've wasted the talents, didn't obey the laws, and I remove you from your position and put somebody else in? A king coming into his kingdom to take account. That's how Matthew presents Jesus Christ. Mark shows Christ as a servant. And that's something that we should all strive to be, as servants. We shouldn't all try to be chiefs. We ought to rejoice in being an Indian once in a while. The Gospel of Luke shows Jesus as a man filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the perspective that that gospel gives. And again, I said that John shows him as God that's come to this earth in the flesh. But you know, Jesus is the King of the Jews. When they nailed him to the cross, the Romans put that sign and nailed it up above his head or what have you that said, Jesus, the King of the Jews. He was King of the Jews then, and he's still King of the Jews now. Now, they don't accept him as such. Most Jews don't want anything to do with him, and I understand that. But he's still the King of the Jews. And as we see, as we'll study today, and as has been studied before by me and many, many others, that Jesus, when he returns, he'll sit on the throne of David. Because, as we know, Jesus is the son of David, the king of Israel. The Bible says that Israel is the apple of God's eye, and whosoever touches Israel, or offends Israel, or attacks Israel, what have you, then that person or that nation or what have you is the enemy of God. But even though God cares for Israel, God judges Israel. The Word of God says that those who God loves, he chastens or punishes or corrects or what have you. Luke chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. And again, this is in light of Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said in Luke chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. Again, Jesus, he's the King of Israel. And as such, we see him coming to take account of how the Jews handled things. And it turns out when their Messiah, when Jesus showed up on the scene, they rejected him, and they killed him. Again, the religious system, the Pharisees, Sadducees, what have you, They brought him before Rome and had him crucified. Now, you can read all through the Gospels of the many, 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 many that came to the Lord in faith. They worshiped him. They wanted to follow him. They enjoyed his benefits, his sermons. They, perhaps, if they were sick, they came and said, "Lord, please heal me," and they were. But the guys in charge, they had him crucified. The guys in charge that represented Israel said, "His blood be upon our heads." They rejected their Messiah, and they suffered dearly. In A.D. 70, just a few years after Jesus was crucified, in A.D. 70, the Roman Emperor Titus came, and he sacked Israel, and he knocked it all down. The only thing, in fact, the only thing that's left is a portion of the city wall. We call it the Wailing Wall. But the temple destroyed. Everything destroyed. And the Roman soldiers, they erected cross after cross after cross. In fact, they put up 1.1 million crosses. And on each one of those crosses hanged a Jew. Maybe you've heard the story, maybe you haven't, it's history. They rejected their Messiah. They crucified their Savior. And just a few short years later, their city was destroyed, and over 1 million Jews were crucified. They were tossed out of the Promised Land. For a little over than 1,950 years now. Almost 2,000 years, think of it. They've been tossed out of the Promised Land. Now, I know they returned in 1948. I understand that. And I'm grateful for it. But the king has been gone all that time. And one day he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. That's something we preach again and again and again. Jesus is coming back. And I'm happy. As a Christian, I'm happy. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the second coming. He's coming back for me. I'm happy for that. But he's really coming back for the Jews. The King of Israel is coming back to take his throne in Jerusalem. You know, when you look at the war that they had about a month ago with Hamas shooting all those rockets, and you look at the Six Days War, you look at 1973, you look at all the battles that they've had, God fought for Israel. But one day, they're going to be overwhelmed. It's called Jacob's Trouble, and I know I'm putting a lot of things together. And maybe you understand these things, maybe you don't. But I'm talking about prophecy. Prophecy. One day Jesus will return, just as he said. We read it in Luke chapter 13. "I'm going to go away," he said, "and you're not going to see me until the time comes when you shall say, 'Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" You can read the book of Zechariah, especially the last half a dozen chapters or so. And it will tell of the time when Christ returns, the time of Jacob's trouble, the time that we know of as the Great Tribulation. They're going to be at the end of their rope. It will look like they're finally going to be destroyed and pushed into the sea, as all those Arabs continue to say. And in desperation, they'll call out to God, and God will return. God will rescue them, and they'll realize that Jesus truly was the Son of God. But again, as we're studying today, and I've said this a couple of times, and I'll say it again, that at his first appearance, Jesus came as a king to take account. Luke chapter 20, verse 9 through 19. I'll see how much of this I can read. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, and led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen, that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And in verse 12, and again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I know, I'll send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy those husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected, the same shall become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And then it says in verse 19 that the chief priests and the scribes that same hour to lay hands on him, or to arrest him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. It's a parable, it's a story. It's a prophetic story. But Jesus is predicting exactly what would happen and what did happen. All through the Old Testament, in Kings and Chronicles, you read in the prophets, whatever, prophets would come and the Jews would beat them up. Or Jeremiah, they threw him in a well and left him to die. Or they'd kill Zechariah, for instance. Finally, God sent his son, and they killed him too. And Jesus asked the question, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now? Well, I'm going to take the vineyard and give it to somebody else. Let's see how they can handle it. And that's where we are today. Christians have the ball. What can we do for God? What can we do for God? But all of this was foretold. God knew ahead of time that when he would send his prophets to correct Israel, that they'd kill them. And he certainly knew that when he sent his own son, they'd kill him too. Of course God knew this. But this was God's plan. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise or to kill his son. This was God's plan. I'm running out of time. But you can look at Joseph back in Genesis. How his brothers, they hated him, they despised him. And just like Jeremiah, they threw him in a well. But along came a traitor, and I don't want to tell the whole story, but they got him up out of the well. And they went home and told their father, hey, he's dead. Here's his bloody coat. He ended up in Egypt, and God prospered him. And he ended up becoming the second in command in all of Egypt. He was Pharaoh's chief assistant or what have you. And God sent a famine. And his brothers, they came to Egypt looking for food. And they discovered, hey, our brother that we thought was dead, that we killed ourselves, we thought he's alive. But let's take a look at these two or three verses. In Genesis chapter 45, when he reveals himself to his brothers, he says, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you into Egypt to preserve life. Again, the tail end of Zechariah, you find that the Jews accept Christ at the last. And all will rejoice. And in fact, in heaven now they're rejoicing that the Lamb of God was slain. And all the peoples of the earth can benefit from his salvation. And all that accept him will worship him when he returns to earth to set up his kingdom that'll never pass away. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.